Centro Nazionale per gli Esami.
Maturità 2004.
Prova d'ascolto.
A tutti voi un cordiale saluto. Siamo all'inizio della prova d'ascolto dell'inglese.
La prova consiste di due parti, la parte A e la parte B. Ciascuna di esse presenta un testo base che ascolterete e gli esercizi ad essi collegati.
Prima leggerete gli esercizi, poi ascolterete il testo base e già durante l'ascolto potete dare la risposta. Ciascun testo base verrà proposto all'ascolto due volte e tra queste ci sarà una pausa per dare le risposte. L'inizio e la fine del testo parlato verranno segnalati dal seguente segnale acustico.
Scrivete sul foglio per le risposte, negli appositi spazi usando la penna stilografica o la penna sfera. Se sbagliate, cancellate la risposta e riscrivetela. Le risposte illeggibili e le correzioni non chiare si valutano con 0 punti.
Dopo aver completato ambedue le parti, la parte A e la parte B, avrete a disposizione 1 minuto di tempo per annerire con la matita sul foglio per le risposte le relative caselle dell'esercizio A.
Abbiate fiducia in voi stessi e nelle vostre capacità. Buon lavoro!
Queste erano le istruzioni generali. Ora incomincerete a risolvere la prova d'esame.
Ascoltate con attenzione. Aprite il foglio d'esame.
Section A. You're going to hear a recording about drug overuse. As you listen to the recording, tick the appropriate column true or false on your answer sheet. You will hear the recording twice. Now read through the statements.
On New and Yours today, we look at new evidence that old people's homes are overusing drugs to subdue their residents.
Nursing homes have been accused of keeping thousands of old people in what one charity for the elderly has called chemical straitjackets, after a study found that 1 in 5 residents was being inappropriately prescribed neuroleptic medicines. The research was carried out at King's College London, and one of the researchers behind it, Stephen Jackson, joins us now. What is wrong with the use of these drugs, Stephen?
Well, they can produce both side effects, as well as only very limited beneficial effects, so that the use of drugs that cause such side effects should be very carefully scrutinised before being used.
And are these drugs mind-altering?
They can be. They work directly on the brain, and they can affect the way the brain works, and indeed sometimes the wanted effect is to produce sedation. But they may, and I repeat may, produce deterioration of a more permanent nature in brain function, although this remains unclear.
So from your research, do you believe that they are being used inappropriately, in other words, overused?
Yes, we have found definite evidence of overuse of these drugs within the nursing home sector.
And why do you believe this is?
I think it's a variety of factors. There's no doubt that there is under-resourced staffing levels in the nursing home sector, and there's also little doubt that these drugs may enable patients to be managed with fewer staff. I would stress, of course, that the staff working in nursing homes are working in a very difficult environment, and the funding levels available are not optimal.
So just in a couple of lines, what are the repercussions on patients taking these drugs?
Well, the sorts of side effects that they may cause include a fall in blood pressure on standing, which can lead to falls, can also cause dry mouth. They can also cause confusion, as well as over-sedation.
Well, listening to that is Sheila Scott from the National Care Homes Association and Paul Burstow, who's the Liberal Democrat spokesman for older people. Paul Burstow, these neuroleptic drugs are being prescribed, it seems, to make elderly inmates of nursing homes easier to handle. Do you believe that?
Well, I think in your question you actually put your finger on it. In some cases, and it is, I think, some cases, we do have situations where medication, neuroleptics, antipsychotic drugs, are being used more for the convenience of the home to manage difficult behaviour amongst some of the residents, and that is wholly unacceptable.
Now you will hear the recording again.
On New and Yours today, we look at new evidence that old people's homes are overusing drugs to subdue their residents.
Nursing homes have been accused of keeping thousands of old people in what one charity for the elderly has called chemical straitjackets, after a study found that one in five residents was being inappropriately prescribed neuroleptic medicines. The research was carried out at King's College London, and one of the researchers behind it, Stephen Jackson, joins us now. What is wrong with the use of these drugs, Stephen?
Well, they can produce both side effects, as well as only very limited beneficial effects, so that the use of drugs that cause such side effects should be very carefully scrutinised before being used.
And are these drugs mind-altering?
They can be. They work directly on the brain, and they can affect the way the brain works, and indeed sometimes the wanted effect is to produce sedation. But they may, and I repeat may, produce deterioration of a more permanent nature in brain function, although this remains unclear.
So from your research, do you believe that they are being used inappropriately, in other words, overused?
Yes, we have found definite evidence of overuse of these drugs within the nursing home sector.
And why do you believe this is?
I think it's a variety of factors. There's no doubt that there is under-resourced staffing levels in the nursing home sector, and there's also little doubt that these drugs may enable patients to be managed with fewer staff. I would stress, of course, that the staff working in nursing homes are working in a very difficult environment, and the funding levels available are not optimal.
So just in a couple of lines, what are the repercussions on patients taking these drugs?
Well, the sorts of side effects that they may cause include a fall in blood pressure on standing, which can lead to falls, can also cause dry mouth. They can also cause confusion, as well as over-sedation.
Well, listening to that is Sheila Scott from the National Care Homes Association and Paul Burstow, who's the Liberal Democrat spokesman for older people. Paul Burstow, these neuroleptic drugs are being prescribed, it seems, to make elderly inmates of nursing homes easier to handle. Do you believe that?
Well, I think in your question you actually put your finger on it. In some cases, and it is, I think, some cases, we do have situations where medication, neuroleptics, antipsychotic drugs are being used more for the convenience of the home to manage difficult behaviour amongst some of the residents, and that is wholly unacceptable.
This is the end of Section A.
Section B. You're going to hear a recording about super trees. As you listen to the recording, write your answers in the spaces provided on your answer sheet. You will hear the recording twice. Now read through the questions.
With it, he enclosed a cutting from the Manchester Evening News in 1981. And the headline of that cutting reads as follows. They could provide fuel and food. The big brother of the garden pea could revolutionise our lives within the next 20 years. We'll be eating it, reading it, and driving cars on fuel made from it. Well, Andrew asks, what happened to it? Now, the article in question was about so-called super trees, and it alleged that the Forestry Commission was interested in importing these trees into this country. So, to find out more, we thought we'd better speak to the Forestry Commission. Tim Rowlandson is its head of policy and practice, and he joins us from Edinburgh now. Tim, super trees related to garden peas, what on earth was all that about?
Taken in context, at the time, 20 years ago, the main focus of activity in forestry in the UK, but also overseas, was really all about wood production, producing wood in order to meet our needs.
And what were these super trees?
Well, the super trees were a variety of species that were being looked at around the world with the thought that, as in agriculture, people were rather obsessed about yields, and we were saying, well, can we increase the yields of what we've got in this country? And so a lot of research was done, and some still is, in looking at alternatives to what we've got.
So why has it changed? Why weren't super trees taken up?
Well, partly I think that the scale of it was quite controversial. Science had allowed foresters essentially to plant faster and faster growing species on land that was seen as unproductive and inhospitable, but there was a backlash. And the backlash was against relying on exotic species and planting them in very large monocultures.
And the Forestry Commission was receiving very hostile views from members of the public over what they were doing to the landscape.
Indeed it was, and it was a massive change in the landscape. And so at the time that the article was written, we were just on the cusp of that. And even in the 1980s, people were starting to become concerned about importing exotic species that might become invasive. I think of examples, recent ones, as, say, Japanese knotweed, or even longer back, the grey squirrel, where species have been introduced and then found to be really more trouble than they were worth.
Can we get these rates of production, rates of growth that they were talking about then now?
Well, we can still grow trees very, very quickly in this country, particularly with the kind of moist and warm conditions that we have. We might always feel the weather's that way, but it's very good conditions for growing trees in. And I think what's happened is that there's been a massive change in the way in which we view trees and forests, so that instead of yield being the main driver today, it's sustainability.
Well, this article also mentions fuel for cars.
It does.
Are you getting fuel from trees?
Yeah, we are. That's one of the things, the predictions there, that really has come true.
How do you do that?
Today we're looking for, as I say, we're looking for much more ecologically based solutions. So whereas the article was about the tree, we now look at the wood. And there have been huge technological advances in the last 20 years, and so there's major potential for woody biomass, that's the woody product from the tree, to produce bioethanols as a straight substitute for petrol. And that's not just pie in the sky, as it seemed to be when the article was written. There are buses and taxis operating in Sweden running on bioethanol from woody biomass.
Now you will hear the recording again.
With it, he enclosed a cutting from the Manchester Evening News in 1981. And the headline of that cutting reads as follows. They could provide fuel and food. The big brother of the garden pea could revolutionise our lives within the next 20 years. We'll be eating it, reading it, and driving cars on fuel made from it. Well, Andrew asks, what happened to it? Now, the article in question was about so-called super trees, and it alleged that the Forestry Commission was interested in importing these trees into this country. So, to find out more, we thought we'd better speak to the Forestry Commission. Tim Rowlandson is its head of policy and practice, and he joins us from Edinburgh now. Tim, super trees related to garden peas, what on earth was all that about?
Taken in context, at the time, 20 years ago, the main focus of activity in forestry in the UK, but also overseas, was really all about wood production, producing wood in order to meet our needs.
And what were these super trees?
Well, the super trees were a variety of species that were being looked at around the world, with the thought that, as in agriculture, people were rather obsessed about yields, and we were saying, well, can we increase the yields of what we've got in this country? And so a lot of research was done, and some still is, in looking at alternatives to what we've got.
So why has it changed? Why weren't super trees taken up?
Well, partly I think that the scale of it was quite controversial. Science had allowed foresters essentially to plant faster and faster growing species on land that was seen as unproductive and inhospitable, but there was a backlash. And the backlash was against relying on exotic species and planting them in very large monocultures.
And the Forestry Commission was receiving very hostile views from members of the public over what they were doing to the landscape.
Indeed it was, and it was a massive change in the landscape. And so at the time that the article was written, we were just on the cusp of that. And even in the 1980s, people were starting to become concerned about importing exotic species that might become invasive. I think of examples, recent ones, as, say, Japanese knotweed, or even longer back, the grey squirrel, where species have been introduced and then found to be really more trouble than they were worth.
Can we get these rates of production, rates of growth that they were talking about then now?
Well,
trees?
We can still grow trees very, very quickly in this country, particularly with the kind of moist and warm conditions that we have. We might always feel the weather's that way, but it's very good conditions for growing trees in. And I think what's happened is that there's been a massive change in the way in which we view trees and forests, so that instead of yield being the main driver today, it's sustainability.
Well, this article also mentions fuel for cars.
It does.
Are you getting fuel from trees?
Yeah, we are. That's one of the things, the predictions there, that really has come true.
How do you do that?
Today we're looking for, as I said, we're looking for much more ecologically based solutions. So whereas the article was about the tree, we now look at the wood. And there have been huge technological advances in the last 20 years. And so there's major potential for woody biomass, that's the woody product from the tree, to produce bioethanols as a straight substitute for petrol. And that's not just pie in the sky, as it seemed to be when the article was written. There are buses and taxis operating in Sweden running on bioethanol from woody biomass.
This is the end of section B.
Ora avete a disposizione un minuto per poter annerire con la matita sul foglio per le risposte le relative caselle in corrispondenza del quesito A.
Siamo alla conclusione della prova d'ascolto dell'inglese. Smettete di scrivere, chiudete il foglio d'esame e posatelo unitamente al foglio per le risposte sull'orlo del banco.
Ancora un cordiale saluto.